In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you.
And with your spirit.
It's a great joy to be with you on this, the third Sunday of Easter, when we give thanks for the presence of the risen Christ among us. And most especially, we pray for the young people who are to receive the sacrament of the Holy Spirit, which is, of course, the presence of Jesus in their own lives. So, in a moment of quiet, my brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate these sacred mysteries. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. May your people exult forever, O God, in renewed youthfulness of spirit, so that, rejoicing now in the restored glory of our adoption, we may look forward in confident hope to the rejoicing of the day of resurrection. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up with the 11 and addressed the crowd in a loud voice. Men of Israel, listen to what I am going to say. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God by the miracles and portents and signs that God worked through him when he was among you, as you all know. This man, who was put into your power by the deliberate intention and foreknowledge of God, you took and had crucified by men outside the law. You killed him, but God raised him to life, freeing him from the pangs of Hades, for it was impossible for him to be held in its power, since, as David says of him, I saw the Lord before me always, for with him at my right hand, nothing can shake me. So my heart was glad, and my tongue cried out with joy. My body, too, will rest in the hope that you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor allow your Holy One to experience corruption. You have made known the way of life to me. You will fill me with gladness through your presence. Brothers, no one can deny that the patriarch David himself is dead and buried. His tomb is still with us. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn him an oath to make one of his descendants succeed him on the throne, what he foresaw and spoke about was the resurrection of the Christ. He is the one who was not abandoned to Hades and whose body did not experience corruption. God raised this man Jesus to life, and all of us are witnesses to that. Now raised to the heights by God's right hand, he has received from the Father the Holy Spirit who was promised. And what you see and hear is the outpouring of that Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. If you are acknowledging as your father one who has no favorites and judges everyone according to what he has done, you must be scrupulously careful as long as you are living away from your home. Remember, the ransom that was paid to free you from the useless way of life your ancestors handed down was not paid in anything corruptible, neither in silver nor gold, but in the precious blood of a lamb without spot or stain, namely Christ, who, though known since before the world was made, has been revealed only in our time, the end of the ages, for your sake. Through him you now have faith in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory for that very reason, so that you would have faith and hope in God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Two of the disciples of Jesus were on their way to a village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking together about all that had happened. Now, as they talked this over, Jesus himself came up and walked by their side. But something prevented them from recognizing him. He said to them, "What matters are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped short their faces downcast. Then one of them, called Cleophas, answered, "You must be the only person staying in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have been happening there the last few days." "What things?" he asked. "All about Jesus of Nazareth," they answered, "who proved he was a great prophet by the things he said and did in the sight of God and of the whole people. And how our chief priests and our leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death and had him crucified. Our own hope had been that he would be the one to set Israel free. And this is not all. 2 whole days have gone by since it all happened, and some women of our group have astounded us. They went to the tomb in the early morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back to tell us they had seen a vision of angels who declared he was alive. Some of our friends went to the tomb and found everything exactly as the women had reported, but of him they saw nothing. Then he said to them, 'You foolish man, so slow to believe the full message of the prophets. Was it not ordained that the Christ should suffer and so enter into his glory?' Then, starting with Moses and going through all the prophets, he explained to them the passages throughout the scriptures that were about himself. When they drew near to the village to which they were going, he made as if to go on, but they pressed him to stay with them. 'It is nearly evening,' they said, 'and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. Now, while he was with them at the table, he took the bread and said the blessing. Then he broke it and handed it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he had vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?' They set out that instant and returned to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 assembled together with their companions, who said to them, 'Yes, it is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told their story of what had happened on the road and how they had recognized him at the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. I hope you don't mind if I preach from here, because I want to most especially this morning speak to the young people who are receiving this sacrament. So if you like the rest of the congregation, I invite you to listen in to this conversation that I have with them. Of course, you may be quite tired this morning, so if you fall asleep, I'll quite understand. You should only get worried if I fall asleep while I'm speaking. But most especially, I think, I want to talk to you about being a saint. Because each of you has chosen a particular saint's name, and on the day of your confirmation, it's not the name you were given at birth that you're signed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, but you're sealed with that gift and given a new name. And so there's a particular saint that you're choosing that you want to emulate. And the three that you've chosen are very beautiful saints, St. Francis, St. Christopher, and St. Teresa. So you want to emulate and copy those saints. But I want to share with you this morning my experience of a living saint that I met in my own lifetime. And it's especially important that we call him to mind because just in this last week, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, in a great ceremony last Sunday, declared two new saints for the life of the Church, Pope John the 23rd and Pope John Paul the 2nd. Now, some of the more senior members here may well remember the example of good Pope John, as he was called, John the 23rd. But I want to share with you just two experiences I had of being in the presence of now Saint John Paul. So a great grace. But the first of them, I'm afraid, went over my head. It was when I was a young man of 19, and John Paul came on pastoral visit to this country, and there was a very large gathering in Wembley Stadium, not for a football match or for a rock concert, but in order that Pope John Paul could celebrate Mass with about 80,000 people. And I had the opportunity to be there on the pitch with about 25, 30,000 others. But I'm afraid I didn't really take much notice of him and what was happening, the fact that we were celebrating Mass. I'm afraid I was caught up in the event, the kind of drama of it all and the magnitude of it all and the wonder of all these kind of thousands of people. So I was a bit like a spectator as a young man at this experience of this future saint celebrating Mass. And years afterwards, I remember reflecting on that experience and having the feeling, and I don't know if you've ever had this in life, that something has happened and I've missed it, even though I was there. And so I kind of made a secret vow or promise that if I ever had that opportunity again, I would kind of be more focused, more aware of what was taking place, and most especially, I suppose, the sense of God in it. And that happened about 7 years later, when I was then studying for the priesthood, and I went to Rome because there were some new saints being made, and some of them were from England, from Scotland, and from Ireland. So many people went from these islands to this ceremony. And purely by providence, I had the opportunity to serve at the Mass that Pope John Paul was celebrating. And when you do that, you have to be there for about 3 hours beforehand, just so you can get ready. And we were all shown into a little chapel and asked to wait there. And this, about an hour before, Pope John Paul came in and he knelt at the front. And he stayed there for a full hour before Mass. And this was his preparation for what he was going to do. And that really struck me. And I had this experience of wanting now not just to be an observer, but to be caught up in what he was doing. Not only in his prayer before Mass, but also then when we celebrated Mass, when he celebrated Mass. That, if you like, I wasn't looking so much at him and everybody else that was there, but looking in the direction that he was looking, which of course was to God, to praise God, to thank God, to ask God for his help. What takes place for each of you today on this, the day of the sacrament of confirmation, is that you move from being an observer to being a participant. You go through that kind of change through this sacrament. You've been interested in experiencing the Catholic Church, perhaps within your family, perhaps through the friends that you've seen, maybe through what you've read or what you've witnessed in the life of the Church. But now there comes a deepening within you, and you ask for the gift of God's Spirit in order not just to be able to observe it, but to be caught up in it, for it to change you, for it to help shape you, for it to guide you in your life in the future. And there's one particular moment in what takes place today where you will see that I pray over you with my hands like this, calling down the Spirit of God upon each of you. That's an action which the priest does at every Mass, at the moment of the consecration, we call it, when we call God's Spirit to change the bread and wine into the body and blood of the Lord. And so when I do that at confirmation, what we're doing, and all of us praying for you as I do that, is we're calling down the Spirit of God to enter each of your hearts to change you, because that's what happens in confirmation. The Spirit of God enters your heart and he gives you the strength not just to observe, but now to participate, to be a full member of his body, the Church. And that means also sharing it with those around you. This is the change which takes place on the road to Emmaus with those disciples. They were perhaps observers before. They'd heard about Jesus' death. They'd even heard the stories about his resurrection. But it all seemed out there and far away. They were observing what was taking place. And then Jesus comes and walks beside them, and he instructs them and guides them, and then he shares himself with them in the bread and the wine, and then they think, ah, it's him. And they change from being just observers to now being fully participants. And he then never leaves them, even though he kind of disappears, it says in the Gospel. We're aware in faith the Lord never leaves us. So on this day that you're confirmed, I want you to remember that Jesus will never, ever depart from you. Whatever you go through in life, whatever you experience, he will always walk beside you, and he will always be there to give you his guidance. And always remember this truth, which is true of all of us, that we move from being simply observers to being deeper participants in the life of God.
Come, Holy Ghost,
Creator,
come from thy bright heavenly
throne. Come, take possession of our souls and take them on thy own. Thou who art all the power of each blessed of God. Thank you.
My dear brothers and sisters, through the Paschal mystery, we have been buried with Christ in baptism, so that we may walk with him in newness of life. And so now that our Lenten observance is concluded, let us renew the promises of holy baptism, by which we once renounced Satan and his works, and promised to serve God in the Holy Catholic Church. And so I ask you, do you renounce sin so as to live in the freedom of the children of God?
I do.
Do you renounce the lure of evil so that sin may have no mastery over you?
I do.
Do you renounce Satan, the author and prince of sin?
I do.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth?
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death and was buried, rose again from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit who came upon the apostles at Pentecost and today descends upon these candidates? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting?
I do.
This is our faith. This is the faith of the Church. We are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord. May Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, and bestowed on us the forgiveness of our sins, keep us by his grace in Christ Jesus our Lord, for eternal life.
Amen.
Would the congregation like to be seated? So now we have this special moment of quiet prayer for each of our candidates as we pray that the Holy Spirit enter each of their hearts.
All-powerful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, by water and the Holy Spirit you freed your sons and daughters from sin and gave them new life. Send your Holy Spirit upon them to be their helper and guide. Give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of right judgment and courage, the spirit of knowledge and reverence. Fill them with the spirit of wonder and awe in your presence. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Turn the light up, please. Teresa, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. God bless you. Put your hand here, good man. Good man.
Christopher, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Peace be with you. God bless you. That's it. Well done.
Francis, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We stand for our intercessions. The Lord walks with us on our journey through life, feeding and nourishing us. We bring our needs in prayer before him.
For the church throughout the world, may Pope Francis, the bishops, and all who minister to us lead us to a deeper understanding of God, for our teachers and catechists. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
For all on our sacramental programs of First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and those recently received. May those confirmed find their faith sustained as they complete this stage of their initiation. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
For peace for all people and nations. May places of war and unrest find peaceful solutions to their problems. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
For those we know who are sick in body, mind, and spirit, those whose lives are coming to their end, may they experience the healing power of the Lord. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
For those who have died, Stefka Hollingworth and Anne Maguire, and others known to us, may they know the eternal reward won for them by Christ, and may those who mourn find comfort and strength. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
May Our Lady, Queen of the May, pray for us as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Loving Father, may the fire of your love live in our hearts and energize us all on our journey of faith. We make our prayers through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, and Lord, we love the sound of thy sea, Lord.
Pray, my brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church.
Receive, O Lord, we pray, these offerings of your exultant church, and as you have given her cause for such great gladness, grant also that the gifts we bring may bear fruit in perpetual happiness. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all to laud you yet more gloriously, when Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. By the oblation of his body, he brought the sacrifices of old to fulfillment in the reality of the cross. And by commending himself to you for our salvation, showed himself the priest, the altar, and the Lamb of sacrifice. Therefore, overcome with paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory, as they acclaim.
You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, For this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
Save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection you have saved.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ.
May he make of us an eternal offering to you so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, the beatified martyrs of England and Wales, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help.
May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Mark, our Bishop, here present, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Remember also, Lord, your servants reborn in baptism, whom you have been pleased to confirm by bestowing the Holy Spirit, and in your mercy keep safe in them your grace. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever.
At the Saviour's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your Church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign for ever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Look with kindness upon your people, O Lord, and grant, we pray, that those who were pleased to renew by eternal mysteries may attain in their flesh the incorruptible glory of the resurrection. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.